This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. And I know that there is a great tendency on the part of many people to look at the situation that we face in this country politically, economically, with foreign affairs, and to say, what great nation are you talking about? The country is so terribly divided. We're at the point of civil war. We are just in the process of adjudicating the cases of more than 1,100 people who were arrested from the attack on the Capitol building that took place on January 6, 2001. It's so important to put all of that in context. And by the way, one of the things that's important to put in context is that brand new California poll, the LA Times poll, that shows that Trump is 39 percentage points ahead of any other GOP candidate. He clearly will win the California primary, and that's important because that way that that primary works is it's the most delegates of all. And obviously, California is the most populous state, and it's a winner-take-all primary, as are many primaries on the Republican side of things, which is one of the reasons that Trump's nomination for another term as president is likely. Sure thing? No, not by any means. There's still months to go before the first of the decisions is made in Iowa with the caucuses there. That's January 15th. That's still weeks and weeks away. But Biden is 66 points up among other Democrats. Trump is 39 points up among other Republicans. And Biden versus Trump, how do you think it goes in California? Biden is up by 20 points over Trump. Trump's chances of carrying the state of California are, well, how do you put it? They're like Biden's chances of carrying the state of Wyoming. The state of Wyoming has only 3 electoral votes. California has 54, so... But that's the way the system works or doesn't work. One of the things that I think is important is context. And I've been thinking about that word a lot because one of the problems, and actually one of the presidential candidates who I'm not a fan of, Vivek Ramaswamy, has nonetheless talked about this matter of context and this matter of civics and the idea that it's very, very important for people who are casting decisions about voting, who are making decisions about life and about living in this country and about how the country is going, that they know something about the country's past, and not only the distant past and not only the great highlights of winning the revolution and ultimately winning the Civil War and abolishing slavery, but actually understanding that some of the idea of division and violence and Americans hating each other for no discernible reasons, it's not a new thing. Those of us who are old enough to have lived through the 1960s and 1970s and some of the protests, particularly against the Vietnam War, should be reminded of that. And there was a case and a headline that reminded me very profoundly of something that upset me greatly that occurred on August 24th, 1970. Now, what happened on that date? Listen to this account, because it's fascinating, and it's, again, a very, very important context for understanding some of the divisions that we have in the United States right now. In the more than 50 years since a bomb ripped through a mathematics center at the University of Wisconsin, killing a graduate student and injuring several others in what was considered an attack protesting the Vietnam War. The FBI has received hundreds of tips about the whereabouts of one of the suspects who's never been apprehended. His name is Leo Burt. Last week, an attempt to develop new leads, the Federal Bureau of Investigation released new images of what Mr. Burt might look like today. He's aged to around 75 years old. Okay, he was 25 when the bombings occurred. He's been a fugitive since then. His colleagues have all been arrested. The other four people who were involved in this bombing that was fateful. And it was, and I remember it was so sad. The graduate student who died was 33 years old. He had little kids at home. He had a wife waiting for him at home. He was at his office doing some in the mathematics building that these crazy left-wing, disgusting, radical murderers had decided that they were going to take it down because they didn't like the Vietnam War. Gone are the grin and thick brown hair from an earlier photograph. A frowning Mr. Burt is now depicted graying and balding, and according to the FBI's remarks beneath the image, may have a mustache, beard, or long hair. In one of the images, he wears the same wire-framed round glasses that he wore as a young man. He remains wanted for sabotage, destruction of government property, and conspiracy, and should be considered armed and dangerous, the FBI said. Mr. Burt, a University of Wisconsin student in his 20s at the time of the attack, was among four men who the authorities say plotted to bomb the mathematics center in the early hours of August 24th, committing the largest act of domestic terrorism at the time. The four men are said to have detonated a stolen truck containing fertilizer and fuel oil near Sterling Hall, the building that that housed the mathematics center, which was affiliated with the U.S. Army. The latest, the blast and the fire killed Robert Fasnacht, a 33-year-old physics researcher, and injured five others. Investigators at the time said the explosion caused at least $6 million in damages. That, of course, is all public money. It's the University of Wisconsin State School. After the attack, the authorities said the bombers fled to Canada, naturally. Three of the suspects, Carlton and Dwight Armstrong, who were brothers, and David Sylvan Fine, were eventually captured. Carlton Armstrong, a former student at the University of Wisconsin, was arrested in 1972, just 2 years after the bombing, near Toronto, and extradited to Madison, Wisconsin, where he pleaded guilty to arson and second-degree murder, and was sentenced to up to 23 years in prison. Now, again, this shows you a double standard. There is actually a death here directly associated with planting a bomb. And if you're going to give 22 years to Enrique Tarrio, planting a bomb that killed people and injured people, it seems to me should get more of a sentence. Mr. Fine, who, like Mr. Burt, was a student at the university, was arrested in 1976. He pleaded guilty and received a 7-year sentence. He was paroled in 1979. So he served only 3 years for this bombing that killed a young father and physics researcher because he happened to be in the building at the time that these crazies were running loose. The Milwaukee field office of the FBI said it had released the new images to coincide with the 53rd anniversary of the bombing and was offering a reward of up to $150,000 for information leading to Mr. Burt's arrest. And it's also worth mentioning, which we will, the two bombings of the Capitol building. Why? Because it gives you perspective for the attack on the Capitol on January 6th. There's more coming up on the MedVed Show.
public resignation from the New York Times exposing bias and anti-Semitism shook the nation. She is the author of The Twitter Files, which exposed the orchestrated bias against conservatives in social media. On Friday, October 13th, join featured speaker Barry Weiss at Washington Policy Center's annual dinner. WPC is your voice for market-based reforms. It exposed the new so-called excise tax on capital gains as an income tax, no matter what officials call it. And while the governor and cap-and-trade advocates promised minimal to no impact on gas prices, WPC warned it would raise the tax you pay on gas by approximately 45 cents a gallon. And WPC research showed the encroachment of critical race theory in Washington's classrooms. WPC provides the insight and analysis you need to stay informed and to act. Subscribe to WPC's free weekly newsletter and support improving our state with free market principles. October 13th in Bellevue at the Hyatt Regency. Ticket and sponsorship details at WPCdinner.com. That's WPCdinner.com.
Well, just when you thought it couldn't get any better, MyPillow is launching the MyPillow 2.0. Back when MyPillow was invented, it had everything you could want in a pillow. Now, nearly two decades later, they've discovered a new technology that makes MyPillow even better. The MyPillow 2.0 has the patented adjustable fill of the original MyPillow, and now with brand new fabric that is made with a temperature-regulating thread. The MyPillow 2.0 is the softest, smoothest, and coolest pillow you'll ever own. Say goodbye to tossing and turning and flipping your pillow over in the middle of the night, and more great news on the MyPillow 2.0, buy one, get one free with promo code MEDVED. MyPillow 2.0 with its temperature regulating technology is 100% made in the USA and comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio podcast square to receive the MyPillow 2.0 buy one, get one free offer. Just when you thought MyPillow couldn't get any better, MyPillow 2.0 gives you the best pillow ever. Enter promo code MEDVED at MyPillow.com to get your MyPillow 2.0s today.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective. Michael Medved.
That phrase may sound shrill or alarmist, but it's not.
It's the Michael Medved Show.
And on the Michael Medved Show, talking about this ongoing effort to find one of the people who should be one of the most notorious left-wing terrorists in the United States, who is about 75 years old today. The Milwaukee field office of the FBI is offering $150,000 for the arrest of Leo F. Burt. who was part of the bombing at the University of Wisconsin that took place 53 years ago. It's astonishing. And was a murderous bombing. The police said that 2 minutes before the bombing, which took place at about 3:45 a.m., they received an anonymous call. And the call said, "Hey, pig," they were calling the police department, "there's a bomb in the math research center," the caller said, according to news reports at the time. The blast tore apart the six-story building, destroying most of its contents, including a brand-new $1.5 million computer, and shattering windows up to 10 blocks away. Now, all of this was in the name of peace, because the bombers, including the ones who were arrested and imprisoned, were peace activists. And there is more. And again, it's amazing to me that we have provided so little in the way of context about this. Headline, bomb explodes in U.S. Capitol building. Terrifying. March 1st, 1971. A bomb explodes in the Capitol building in Washington, D.C., near the Senate chambers. It causes an estimated $300,000 in damage, which would be like $30 million in damage by today's standards. No one, thank God, is hurt in the blast. A group known as the Weather Underground claims credit for the bombing. The Weather Underground is a radical organization that advocates violence as a legitimate means to change American society. They assert that the bombing is in protest of the ongoing U.S.-supported South Vietnamese invasion of Laos. So, that bombing of the Capitol building was not as serious as this one. On November 7th, 1983, does anybody remember this? It just seems to me important because this idea that we are in this dark, 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 dark period and we'll never come out of it. We had a dark, dark, dark period in the 1970s. It was misery. And then this in 1983. This from Senate.gov. The Senate had planned to work late into the evening of Monday, November 7th, 1983. Deliberations proceeded more smoothly than expected, however, so the body adjourned at 7:02 p.m. A crowded reception held near the Senate chambers broke up 2 hours later. Consequently, at 10:58 p.m., when a thunderous explosion tore through the second floor of the Capitol's north wing, the adjacent halls were virtually deserted. Many lives had been spared. Minutes before the blast, a caller claiming to represent the Armed Resistance Unit had warned the Capitol switchboard that a bomb had been placed near the Senate chambers in retaliation for recent U.S. military involvement in Grenada and Lebanon. This was during the presidency of Ronald Reagan. The force of the device, hidden under a bench at the eastern end of the corridor outside the chamber, blew off the door to the office of Democratic leader Robert C. Byrd. The blast also punched a potentially lethal hole in a wall partition, sending a shower of pulverized brick, plaster, and glass onto the Republican cloakroom. Although the explosion caused no structural damage to the Capitol building, it shattered mirrors, chandeliers, and furniture. Officials calculated damages at $250,000. A stately portrait of Daniel Webster, one of the greatest senators ever to serve, located across from the concealed bomb, received the explosion's full force. The blast tore away Webster's face and left it scattered across the Minton tiles in one-inch canvas shards. Quick-thinking Senate curators rescued the fragments from debris-filled trash bins. Over the coming months, a capable conservator painstakingly restored the painting of Daniel Webster to a credible, if somewhat diminished, version of the original. following a 5-year investigation. And this is why you need an FBI, for goodness sake, and why people who are talking about abolishing the FBI are so wrong. Following a 5-year investigation, federal agents arrested 6 members of the so-called resistance conspiracy in May 1988 and charged them with bombings of the Capitol, of Fort McNair, and the Washington Navy Yard. In 1990, a federal judge sentenced Marilyn Buck, Laura Whitehorn, and Linda Evans, not the movie star Linda Evans, to lengthy prison terms for conspiracy and malicious destruction of government property. The court dropped charges against 3 co-defendants already serving extended prison terms for related crimes. The 1983 bombing marked the beginning of tightened security measures throughout the Capitol. The area outside the Senate chamber, previously open to the public, was permanently closed. Amazing. And with all of this going on, there is a real sense that we have, because of our political differences and because of arguments about everything, that we have unique divisions in the United States. There is a piece in the Wall Street Journal by Karl Rove, who, in addition to being a political guru, is a pretty fine historian. He did a terrific book about the very exciting presidential campaign of 1896. Okay, I'm not going to divert you into the campaign between William Jennings Bryan and William McKinley. But coming up, speaking of excitement, there is usually not a lot of excitement associated with Mike Pence. But he actually gave a major speech and for the first time took fairly square aim at the president he used to serve. He took aim at President Donald Trump and his populist followers and imitators. This is a speech in New Hampshire that delivered today, entitled Populism versus Conservatism: Republicans' Time for Choosing. Time for Choosing was the title of a very famous speech by Ronald Reagan back in 1964. Have we reached another time for choosing? We'll play you some excerpts of Mike Pence's speech coming up on The Medved Show.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
USA News Update. Judge Scott McAfee of Fulton County, Georgia, has decided that Sidney Powell and Kenneth Chesbrough will face trial together on October 23rd. Scott Grubman is representing Chesbrough in the case.
We have a lot of other pretrial motions that we have filed and that we will file. And there's a common purpose of all these pretrial motions. It's to continue to ensure that Mr. Chesbrough has not only a speedy trial, which we've demanded, but a fair trial.
The judge cited the legal standard not being met for separating Chesbrough and Powell. The hunt for an escaped convict has reached its seventh day in a small Pennsylvania town. That convict, Danilo Cavalcante, was sentenced to life in prison after stabbing his ex-girlfriend to death. He escaped on August 31st. And the heat wave is causing schools across the Mid-Atlantic and Northeast to either close or alter their schedules. The heat wave expected to persist through Thursday. John Schaefer, USA News.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork. You know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
These are the sounds of someone taking their eyes off the road. Texting while driving is more than distracting. It's dangerous. Do yourself a favor. Do us all a favor. When you're on the road, stay off the phone. A message from CTIA.
Michael Medved Show, we were just talking about Mike Pence speaking on the dangers of populism, which is interesting because just on Friday I posted a column called The Poisons of Populism. And they are there. I have not heard Pence's speech. It was just delivered earlier today. But here's the way it was covered on Fox News. Listen, clip 7.
I think it's a real choice in this party between whether we're going to stay on the path of the traditional conservative agenda that's defined this movement for the last 50 years and really is grounded in American ideals, or whether we're going to follow the siren song of populism unmoored to conservative principles. And I really believe that's a pathway not only to defeat for the Republican Party, but also ultimately, it's the pathway to disappointment and decline for our party and for our country. I mean, we know what works. It's American leadership. It's free market economics. It's traditional values. That's what I've always been about, and that's what we'll be about if I secure this nomination.
And again, the problem with populism, and basically if you actually look up dictionary definitions or you look up the history of populism, there was actually a great book by Richard Hofstadter, who was a longtime historian at Columbia University, who wrote a book called The Age of Reform. And it talks about the populists and just how much they were paranoid, and they basically encouraged a feeling of powerlessness on the part of American people, because the whole idea of populism was fighting elites and having ordinary people who would take back power that had been taken away from them by elites. Here is more from Pence's actual speech today. Okay, great. Pence told a crowd at the New Hampshire Institute of Politics at St. Anselm College, which was a traditional primary stop in New Hampshire during the primary season. He told the audience that Republican voters face a choice between conservative principles and the rising populist movement. He said populists are replacing limited government and traditional values with an agenda stitched together by little else than personal grievances and performative outrage. Pence warned that leaning into populism could lead to a future where our party's relevancy will be confined to history books. It may live on in some populist fashion, but then it will be truly in a cruel twist, Republican in name only, he said. Will we choose to go down the path of populism and decline? I believe we stand at a crossroads, Pence said. I have faith that Republican voters will once again choose the good way. The Republican Party, he said, did not begin on the golden escalator in 2015, Pence said, referring to Trump's presidential announcement at Trump Tower in New York. Donald Trump, along with his populist followers and imitators, some of whom are also seeking the Republican presidential nomination, often sound like an echo of the progressives they would replace in the White House. He also suggested Trump's position on entitlement reform is identical to President Biden's. Trump called on Republican lawmakers not to cut a single penny from Medicare or Social Security when they began negotiations with President Biden and Democrats over a measure to raise the debt ceiling in January. Cut waste, fraud, and abuse everywhere that we can find it, and there is plenty of it, but do not cut the benefits our seniors worked for and paid for their entire lives. Save Social Security, Trump said at the time. Pence went on to criticize Florida Governor Ron DeSantis for having, quote, used the power of the state to punish corporations for taking a political stand he disagreed with. The comments seemingly referred to DeSantis' ongoing feud with Disney, which filed a lawsuit against the governor and other state leaders in April, accusing them of participating in a targeted campaign of government retaliation against the company that began last year when it spoke out against Florida's parental rights and education law, a law that passed anyway and is in force. Pence, meanwhile, also called political newcomer Vivek Ramaswamy one of the president's populist proteges and knocked his support for raising the inheritance tax. But the former vice president's advisors told reporters ahead of the speech on Tuesday that the former vice president's remarks are not directed specifically toward Trump or Ramaswamy. It would be much too small an interpretation of his speech to focus on any one political figure, the advisor said. The basic idea, I would hope, is to avoid conspiratorial thinking, because the very essence of populism, when it was raging, populism had appeal to rural states and outside the cities and looked at big cities as sinks of corruption and talked about the elites who at the time were people who ran railroads and ran banks and wanted to get the government involved on one side of the equation. Because the idea was that the elites were evil, and that's why part of the populist initial thrust was profoundly anti-Semitic. And this, of course, relates to that whole controversy that is boiling right now about Elon Musk, who is about as elite you can be. He's the richest guy in the world. And with him now attacking and blaming the Anti-Defamation League for anti-Semitism, but that's another issue. Concerning the idea of populism, populism also has traditionally had an isolationist aspect. that we should not be concerned about anything that happens beyond our borders. Now, the truth of the matter is, we've had a great deal of history, more than 100 years of it, that shows that we are deeply impacted by what happens beyond our borders. Sometimes you can't avoid that impact. This is an argument between Chris Christie on CNN talking about Trump, DeSantis, and Vivek and their policy views on foreign policy. Clip 11.
This is the naivete of the Donald Trump, Ron DeSantis, Vivek Ramaswamy approach to foreign policy. They don't think they're going to go talk to Putin, and they're going to convince him to get away. Putin spent his time talking to Kim Jong-un and President Xi of China and the mullahs in Iran. He has no interest until we show him that the juice is not worth the squeeze, that he needs to stop with what he's doing to a free country, the atrocities there, the 20,000-plus children who have been kidnapped from their parents. This is stuff that the United States has to stand up against, and when I'm president, we will.
The idea of the United States standing up against Putin, this is an increasing issue within their Republican Party. And the idea that you have people like Ramaswamy who are trying to make President Zelensky of Ukraine into some kind of a villain or some kind of national enemy to the interests of the United States is terribly sad and terribly inappropriate and unnecessary. Coming up, is it true that the Trump-Biden rematch, which may be pending, is something entirely new and exciting? There's a columnist who says so. We'll get to it. Coming up on the MedVet Show. You know how the line to the song goes. It's summertime and the living is easy. Well, it's not so easy. It's active. I mean, people try to get moving when it's summertime, which is why aches and pains really need to be dealt with. And the best way to deal with them that I've ever found is through Relief Factor. Take it every day. It really does help you feel better and move more easily. And it's entirely natural. It's extraordinary. Extraordinarily good for you. Go to michaelmedved.com. You can get Relief Factor with what they call a quick start, remarkably inexpensively. It's really a very special deal. And then you will probably become as regular a user as I am and millions of others. Go to michaelmedved.com, look for the banner for Relief Factor, and order your own quick start to make the most of your summer. Instability, vulnerability, uncertainty, volatility, precarious, unpredictable. Now, all of those words describe our banking system right now, as evidenced by the recent collapse of major banks. Michael Medved here for Amfed Coin and Bullion. This was the second largest bank failure in history, and the Federal Reserve has been scrambling to keep this bank run from spreading. Now, if you feel uneasy about having too much money sitting in the bank, you're not alone. Gold, silver, and platinum have had recent gains as investors look for safe places to park their money. Now more than ever, you need to call my good friends Nick Grovich and company, owner of Amfed Coin and Bullion. I've been doing business with Nick for many years, and I wouldn't go anywhere else. Nick and his team of specialists will provide you with personalized attention, honest information, and sound advice. If you're interested in buying or selling, call Amfed Coin and Bullion, 800-221-7694, 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
It's obvious. We're being let down by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media are distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the real concerns of American families. Countries we're at odds with are hoarding food, financial systems are strained, and supply chains remain too fragile. We can tell something is coming. So we're preparing. Folks are getting into self-reliance and investing in emergency food storage. And My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, makes it easy for you to have peace of mind knowing you're prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. And while you're there, stock up on water filtration, heirloom seeds, and emergency gear, too, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It's time to prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
There's a news bulletin that isn't exactly shocking. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell said he has no plans to step down from his Senate seat. He will serve in the Senate until 2026 because he was only recently reelected. His intention is to continue as Republican leader and to continue in the Senate after facing all kinds of questions following two public episodes in which he froze in recent weeks. Those episodes are terrible to watch, and they're videotaped, unfortunately, for McConnell. But the Senate Minority Leader, who I think is one of the most effective public servants still serving in Washington, said, "I have no announcements to make." He's 81 years old. He's a year older than President Biden. He told reporters on Wednesday about his future in the Senate. "I'm going to finish my term as leader, and I'm going to finish my Senate term." And he also has strong support from almost everyone in the Republican caucus. And that goes from people who are very, very outspokenly conservative to people who might be described as more centrist. It includes pretty much everyone in the Senate who's worked with this guy and has respect for him. Senator Mitt Romney of Utah, who has not yet announced or decided, apparently, whether he's running for re-election. He is up for re-election this year, and there are a number of Republicans who are threatening to challenge him in primaries. However, he had this to say about Mitch McConnell. Listen.
"The reality is that we may expect that Mitch McConnell will check out for 20 seconds a day, but the other 86,380 seconds in the day, he does a pretty darn good job. I'm firmly behind his remaining as our leader."
Okay, and that, I think, is an answer that would be given by most people, certainly the overwhelming majority of the Republican caucus in the Senate. There's this piece in Huffington Post by Paul Blumenthal, and he begins the piece with a provocative headline: "A 2024 Trump-Biden rematch isn't boring. It's something entirely new." At this point in the 2024 race, it looks like President Joe Biden is set for a rematch with his predecessor, Donald Trump, Blumenthal writes. It's a matchup that nobody wants to see, at least according to the polls and the pundits. About 70% of the public say they don't want either Biden or Trump to run for president. That according to one August poll. That's consistent with multiple surveys taken throughout 2023. National and local newspaper columnists, meanwhile, bemoan another awful matchup and the sense of impending doom that is sending voters through the famous five stages of grief. I think that's true. But basically, the answer to this entire column is try to imagine what a Trump versus Biden debate will be like. You know, it shouldn't be hard to imagine it because a lot of us lived through it. Remember in 2020, they had the first debate where they literally were shouting at each other. At one point, Biden told Trump to, shut up. And, I mean, just in terms of lacking any grace or style or real substance, one of the most awful debate in the history of presidential debates. Don't you think people are justified in not wanting a repeat of that? Blumenthal writes, the likely 2024 Biden-Trump contest should be viewed less as a rerun and more as a rare reboot that actually ups the stakes. Compared with each man's first successful run for the presidency, both are taking positions that repudiate past governing commitments of the American state in ways that we probably haven't seen before. Biden, he says, is betting his presidency on efforts to move past economic policies that have dominated the U.S. since Ronald Reagan's tenure. Trump, on the other hand, is running to turn the presidency into something akin to a monarchy. He has de-emphasized the old conservative tax and spend discourse in favor of an all-out attack on government debt. Yes, he still embraces cutting taxes for the rich and slashing government spending, but the policy that he and allies are emphasizing most in pursuit of conservative aims is placing the administrative state and its 2 million-plus workers, including law enforcement and investigatory bodies, under his direct control by putting civil service protections and the independence of agencies, by gutting that civil service protection and independence of agencies. If you can't cut the size of government, you can at least make it bend to your wishes, or so the thinking goes. Really? That's what we should be looking forward to? Is, in other words, one candidate who would greatly increase the power of the presidency by reducing the independence of federal agencies, including our law enforcement agencies? In the current case, neither candidate is playing the role of a Bush, Clinton, or Obama. They are instead both running as though they were Reagan, looking to reject what exists and to start something new. Does this ring correctly to you, that President Trump is planning to start something new that didn't exist in his previous term in office? I think this is a strained argument. And the argument that Biden is looking at anything new, I mean, what Biden's plan really has been warmed over New Deal. And going back to the Lyndon Johnson ideas of the Great Society. And the idea that there's something new and exciting and different from either individual. In other words, if someone can tell me, and I'd be glad to get calls on this, 1-800-955-1776, what's an exciting new policy that Trump has talked about? I mean, last time he started the Space Force, heard a lot about the Space Force? And again, a number of his opponents, and this is a point that Nikki Haley recently made, one of the things that President Trump promised to do during his first term was to build a wall. Didn't happen. Meanwhile, there is a new morning consult poll, and what it shows is that Mitch McConnell is the least popular senator in the U.S. The Kentucky lawmaker is alone in the upper chamber with a disapproval rating of more than 60% among his home state voters. McConnell garnered a 64% disapproval rating in the survey with an approval rating of only 28%. He was followed in unpopularity by Senators Joe Manchin, Democrat of West Virginia, Susan Collins, Republican of Maine, and Ron Johnson, Republican of Wisconsin, with disapproval ratings of 55, 53, and 52%, respectively. The four are the only senators with disapproval ratings higher than 50%. With Ron Johnson, he just got reelected. And this is probably a bad sign for the attempts to unseat Tammy Baldwin, who is the other senator from Wisconsin, the Democrat. And another indication of the state of Wisconsin, at least, moving away from conservative principles. It flipped last time out, ending up supporting Joe Biden in a very close race, as opposed to the close race that Donald Trump had won in Wisconsin in 2020. Joe Biden's strategy for forming a new regime has been the opposite of Trump's. Where Trump presents himself as a revolutionary, Biden presents himself as the apostle of sane, stable government, as the protector of democracy, and the restorer of a sense of political unity and common purpose. How's that going? According to polls and according to some of the breaking news about Joe Biden in the last 24 hours, well, it's not going so well in this greatest nation on God's green earth.
Discover Tuscany in California at Allegretto Vineyard Resort by Ayers. Located halfway between San Francisco and Los Angeles, Allegretto Vineyard Resort is nestled in the heart of Paso Robles wine country and evokes the character and charm of an Italian estate. Voted as one of the best wine country hotels by USA Today, indulge in memorable experiences as you tilt back a glass of award-winning Allegretto wines. Savor locally farmed and foraged cuisine at Cello Restaurante and Bar while enjoying soothing spa treatments from the boutique spa Allegretto. Experience the handcrafted joy today with rates starting at $209 per night, Sunday through Thursday stays throughout the month of August. Use promo code COOK at AllegrettoResort.com. Book your Tuscan-inspired getaway today with promo code COOK at AllegrettoResort.com. A-L-L-E-G-R-E-T-T-O Resort.com.
Former CIA officer and survival expert Jason Hansen here. I teach people how to prepare for the unexpected. Right now, most Americans are not ready for the death of the U.S. dollar. You have money sitting in cash, and if you don't act soon, your financial future could be at risk. I have partnered with Advantage Gold, the number one rated precious metals company in America, to release my new digital dollar survival kit that's 100% free for everyone who calls today and claims your free survival kit. Simply call 800-900-8000 and give your email address, and I will have this new digital dollar survival kit sent to you immediately. Call 1-800-900-8000 now and claim your free kit, and also mention my name, Jason Hansen, and see how you could also qualify for $1,000 in free silver. Supplies are limited, so call right now before it's too late. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.